This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday. It's a very busy time here over the next 2 weeks with the high school athletic spring sports season coming to an end. We'll transfer to the end of the conference baseball seasons and into conference tournaments, regionals in a couple of weeks, and of course getting close to the College World Series. The NCAA softball tournament begins tomorrow for the Huskers. We've still got the danger right in the middle of a fantastic season, but now having to overcome some obstacles, as we talked about, dismissing a couple of players last week. They had a bye week. We'll see where they set as they go take on the multiple time defending champions in Sioux Falls on Saturday. Coach Mike Davis will join us tomorrow on the show. Also tomorrow, our buddy Gino Bucola of TVG. Today, Michelle Yu, horse racing analyst from Santa Anita, will join us towards the end of the program. The Preakness draws. Just talk with some of our friends, our folks that we are into the horse racing from Fawner and all of our connections. Just 8 horses in the field. We'll see how that affects things. And American Pharoah draws the one spot, the one post, which is probably the least favorable, but it's still the favorite at 4-5. And Dortmund right next to him. I think that's the interesting thing here. You know, I don't want to compare the Preakness to the Bosselman. I'm just saying that, remember, last year in the Bosselman, you had Diamond Joe and Joy Boy go out and run each other to death, and they were right next to each other. What if that happens again here? Pharoah and Dortmund go out, run each other to death in this shorter race, and one of the other horses come in. There's only 8 horses. You look at a horse like Mr. Z that was horrible in the Kentucky Derby, so a lot of people are going to throw that one out. Who knows? Can it pop one here? 6 of the 8 horses in the field were in the Kentucky Derby. We'll talk with Michelle about that. Coming up in our next segment, Illinois head baseball coach Dan Hartlib. They are hotter than hot, 24 in a row. They have a variety of records that we can go by. Fewest losses in the country right now, 19-1 in the conference. Nebraska is, are they struggling more than any other team in the Big Ten? I mean, Purdue, who's the worst team, took 2 of 3 from them. Is Nebraska struggling more than any other baseball team in the Big Ten? Northwestern was somewhat competitive with them. This was supposed to be where Nebraska kind of hit their stride with some of the weaker teams in the league, did playing some of the stronger teams earlier in the season, which maybe you didn't realize were going to be the stronger teams. Ohio State was way better than a lot of people thought. Iowa, way better than a lot of people thought. And maybe that just took Nebraska off guard, and they just couldn't get back on track and struggled against the Northwesterns, the Purdues. And now they take on the best team by far in the conference in Illinois. Coach Hartlib will join us in our next segment. So a lot to talk about. If you'd like to join us on the show, and then we're off the district track. Most of the B meets, just like the A meets, they get a little later start in the day. I'm headed up to Broken Bow for the B5 meet. 10 area schools will be competing up there. As you just heard, Tyson Avronics over at Sandy Creek where the C9's underway. Our field events in Bow get underway at 12:30, and then the running events at about 2:30, and we will have updates all day long from both of those meets. So if you'd like to be a part of the program, talk about anything in the world of sports, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. That's at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, as always, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy. at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, it's always rough when you get to the postseason, the state tournament, whatever the sport is, and you lay the proverbial egg. You have your kind of worst game of the season. When you lose, you always think, man, we didn't play that well. Very rarely will you say, yeah, we played well. They were just better than us today. It was a great game. Well, it happened this morning to the Kearney High girls. I mean, they were 18-2. They'd lost a one-goal game and a shootout, and they were 18-2. And one of the losses was to Millard North, and Millard North scored early and never looked back and was up 2-0 at the half. They put another one in the first 5 minutes of the second half, and Millard North took care of Kearney High today 4-0. That's their worst loss score-wise in quite some time, and what a run this class has had for Kearney High, and they just didn't get as far as they had hoped to. They were a really good team, and it just didn't happen today. The Kearney High boys fell yesterday to Millard West. Here's one. As Coach Scott Steinberg had told us on the show, we play a lot of close games, especially when we play Millard West. They haven't scored a lot, and they haven't given up a lot this year. It was expected to be a low-scoring game, and here's Kearney scoring in the first 3 minutes. Daniel Coble knocks it in. It's 1-0. That carries into halftime. That carries deep into the second half. And then finally, Millard West on a long kick, about 25 yards it appeared to be. They tie it up with 13 minutes to go. Okay, so we're 1-1, tussling for the next 10 minutes, and West gets a header. You take the lead with 3 minutes to go. That pretty much pops your balloon. Then there was a penalty kick as Kearney tried to get something going, and that made it 3-1. Millard West, all three goals in the last 13 minutes. On the positive side, Lexington wins their first state tournament game since 2010, and Kevin Andre just steps up and does it. Hastings and Coach Hawker told us on the show this week, he goes, we made some mistakes against him the first time, and Andre took advantage, and basically the same thing happened yesterday. Hastings has their seventh consecutive trip to state come to an end this time in the first round. Lexington is on to the semifinals with the 3-1 win, and they will play Saturday morning at 9 a.m. against Columbus SCOTUS. And the other side of the Class B bracket will be played tonight, Gretna against Mount Michael, Scutt against Norris. Elsewhere in A, Millard West will play. I mean, it was almost incredibly crazy yesterday. I can almost imagine the emotions for Millard West and Kearney. Number one, Omaha South, was on the ropes. They went overtime with 8-10 Lincoln East, but they did win it 2-1. And right before that, the number two seed, Lincoln Southwest, got beat. So it was close to being all upsets. Creighton Prep did take care of Bryan in the first game by a score of 2-0. District track that was run yesterday, Kearney High continues their dominance, winning the A2 at Omaha Bryan. Now, the boys have been closer, and we've known the Bearcats have been beaten in a couple of meets this year. It's kind of a little transition. They haven't been piling up the points, but they're district champs yet again. Strong in the weights, discus shot, as they always are, and that carries them to a 17-point win over Omaha Burke. The Kearney girls score 183 points, strong in the field events, very good in the sprints, and they outdistance Millard North 183-124. Some other highlights yesterday, Grand Island boys win the A1 at Millard South. Giltner boys and girls sweep the D6 at Heartland. At Kennesaw, two very close team races, but Bertrand is able to sweep it. They win by 4 points on the girls and 6 points on the boys. Also, Brady sweeps the meet down at Arapahoe, and Elwood girls and Medicine Valley boys win the D or at Arapahoe. The Brady teams win at Gothenburg yesterday. Some other meets that are going on besides the two that we are at today. The B3 is at Concordia University at Seward. Some of the area C teams will be at the C10 at Cambridge, and a couple are at the C4 going on at Thayer Central. So that's what's going on with the track and soccer. Very busy. We get into state tennis and district golf next week and bring it on home here in the next couple of weeks. We've also got NBA basketball for you tonight. It's Cleveland at Chicago. There are a pair of game sixes tonight, and the Bulls at home need to win to force a game seven. Houston on the road needs to win to force a game seven with the Clippers. Our coverage tonight of Bulls Cavs is at 7 o'clock. We ask you today on our Midtown Mart Cooler question, which team down 3-2 in the NBA playoffs, because that's where we're at right now, has the best chance to win? The Grizzlies come back and beat the Warriors. The Rockets come back and beat the Clippers. The Wizards come back and beat the Hawks. Or the Bulls come back and beat the Cavs. Vote on our Midtown Mart Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Which team that's down 3-2 in the NBA playoffs has the best chance to win the series? I will go with the Wizards over the Hawks, even though that's knocking out the number one team in the Eastern Conference, because these games have been so unpredictable, so close, so wild. Last night, it looks like Paul Pierce hits another game winner, but the Hawks get an offensive rebound and score, and they win this basketball game. It's so funny how NBA is when you do have a timeout, when you don't have a timeout. The Hawks scored with 1.9 left. If Washington had a timeout, there's 20 minutes left in the game. 1.9, there'd be 20 minutes left in that game. There'd have been a TV timeout, there'd have been a timeout, there'd have been a sub, there'd have been a foul, there'd have been all kinds of stuff going on. But instead, they acted like they didn't know what to do. They looked like your Saturday morning YMCA team with 1.9. They had no idea. They had one guy at half court, and so they threw it to him, and he chucked it up. But it's funny. This series went back and forth, so I'll say the Wizards have the best chance, although you can't be surprised if the Bulls find a way to shock the Cavs. I don't think the Grizzlies have any chance to take the last two from Golden State, and I don't think the Rockets can win three straight over the Clippers. I think the Clippers put it away tonight at home because Houston just can't play defense. They've got to outscore the Clippers. I don't think they can do it three straight games. We asked you yesterday on our Midtown Mark Cooler question, who had the more impressive performance on Tuesday? James Harden, whose triple-double kept the Rockets alive. LeBron James, who had 35 points to help lead a beat-up Cavs team. Or in baseball, Giancarlo Stanton, who hit a home run out of Dodger Stadium. Of course, as I told producer Caleb yesterday, I thought it was Alex Gordon. Game-winning home run, two doubles, the home run. He didn't even put him on the board. But you voted for James Harden. 46% went to Harden, 36% went to Stanton, and 18% went to LeBron James. Vote today and anytime on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to talk baseball, Illinois, Nebraska, with head coach Dan Hartlove of the Illini next.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just equate happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see a few showers around early today, especially east of Kearney. Otherwise, seeing some breaks of sun develop with a high at 77 as winds stay to the southwest. Then we could see a developing shower storm tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 57.
Doug and Addy Show back on ESPN Radio on this Thursday. Looks like it could be the nicest day of the week. Get out, enjoy it. We'll have more from District Track in just a little bit. Could be a nice weekend as well. every time the weather pops up, there's 50%, 70% chance of rain. At least most of it has been overnight, so everybody can enjoy what's going on the last couple of weeks of the season here for most of the teams. And this weekend, you can play in the three-person Holdridge Country Club Scramble. It is Saturday and Sunday, the 2 days of Green Feast, 255, includes a Saturday night steak dinner, Calcutta, the cash payouts per flight in Calcutta, cart rental available for an additional fee. You can find out more and even print off a registration form online at HoldridgeCC.com, or just register your team today by calling the Holdridge Country Club, 308-995-5744, 308-995-5744. It's this Saturday and Sunday. Always fun, always a good-sized tournament, the Holdridge Country Club three-person scramble. Give them a call or check it out online today. Coach Hartlib does not have time to play golf yet. He is in the middle of a very important baseball season. And Dan Hartlib, the head coach at Illinois, joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Does the golf swing really screw up the baseball swing, Coach?
Well, I'm not sure which one screws up which, but as much as I'd love to be out playing golf just because I enjoy it so much, as you said, we've got a lot of business to take care of, so my golf game won't come out of the closet for a while.
Well, we appreciate the time, and hopefully it doesn't come out of the closet until like the end of June, maybe somewhere in Omaha. I'll give you a chance to do something when the College World Series is going on. Congratulations on what you guys are doing there, and B, how in the world are you doing it? I mean, I would think even you have to be a little surprised at how well things continue to roll for you.
Well, first of all, we've got good players. I mean, you're not going to win at this high level without good players. And the other factor is we've got a lot of mature upperclassmen. And, that always is helpful when you start talking about, you know, playing for championships, playing at the national level, playing, you know, in a situation where we've got a long winning streak. So there's a lot of things that have to fall into place for you. We're just fortunate to have good kids.
Does there ever become a point where it'd be okay to have that streak snap? Not in an important game, but just so it gets over, so you're not in the postseason and everybody's talking about it all the time? Or does that bother our coaching staff or our players?
You know, honestly, it hasn't bothered our players. It's been amazing how they've handled that. I think they're focused on, you know, just one game at a time, and they really haven't worried about what we've done. They just come to the ballpark every day, very businesslike and very focused. So, you know, I've had multiple people say things to me about, lose one or whatever. I'm not ready to lose. You go to the ballpark every day to win. And so, you know, hopefully we can keep racking up wins.
We're talking with Illinois head baseball coach Dan Hartlib here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. They have not lost since March 29th in that series against Michigan State, the opening conference series. And, Coach, quite frankly, you haven't had a whole lot of close games. There's a couple of one-run games in there. Take me through those close games, since you don't have to play them very often and your team still being able to find a way to win, the key to either hold on or to make the right move.
Well, it's been interesting the entire year. We've won each and every game in a different manner. And one day it's great starting pitching, and the next day it's great hitting or great defense. It's always someone different that's rising to the occasion. We've had tight games that we've been fortunate enough late to score, you know, a few runs to widen the gap. And then the other factor is we've got a great closer that gives our guys a little bit of security, and, you know, not that anybody's invincible or unhittable, but he's very good, and I know there's great confidence with all of us when he goes to the mound.
Coach, you get ready to take on a Nebraska team that is really struggling, but obviously has something to play for, and we'll talk about what you have to play for, but they need something to happen just to get into the Big Ten tournament. I think every coach, after a while, knows what that feeling is like. What are you anticipating from the Huskers this three-game series starting tonight?
Well, I have great respect for Nebraska, the program, especially Darren Erstedt, and I know it's going to be a battle all weekend. They've got good players. They have played an extremely strong schedule this year. And, you know, there's been times when they've played at a very high level. You know, I don't think any of us coaches ever know why you play extremely well or days when things don't go well, you know, why those things don't go well. And You know, I know that's probably a frustration for Coach Erstad, but I know they'll be ready this weekend, and you know, we're in for a great weekend of baseball.
Coach, how important would you say the series was with Ohio State from a standpoint when you got to that point in the season? You didn't play Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, three of the teams that were in the top five, six here in the conference. You didn't, because of the way the schedule fell, have an opportunity to play them. I'm sure there had to be some questions, especially nationally. Have they played anybody? And you went out and took care of business against Ohio State.
Well, we did a good job against Ohio State, and there were a lot of questions in people's mind from a national standpoint, and we had all the national publications, the majority of the national publications were at the games to watch, to see our team match up against Ohio State. And as I said before, we did a good job that weekend. I think after people saw, you know, the level that we can play at, the type of players we have, the type of team that we had, it opened some more eyes across the country and got us a lot of national respect.
You'll have senior day on Saturday, and you got a lot of them. What's that weekend going to be like? And having this many seniors on the team, you kind of touched on it. That's probably one of the reasons you're doing so well.
Well, it'll be a fun day. You know, you never want to see great players that are great people leave your program, but that's part of athletics. You're going to lose seniors each and every year. This group's done an extremely good job for us in a lot of different areas. They have been very good players. They've been very good students, but most of all, they've been very good people. They've given us great leadership, and so it's going to be one of those days where I'm sure it'll be emotional because of the you know, the type of people and the successes that they've had. But I'm looking forward to being able to honor them, which will be very much deserved on that day.
Just a couple of minutes here left with Illinois baseball coach Dan Hartlib, because they do happen to have a game tonight there. No problems this weekend. We're going to get them all in?
Well, I would hope so. We have turf, and so that you know, really gives us a lot of options. I would say the only, you know, factors that we have that could be tough are the fact that we're still on exams through tomorrow. So moving game times up to try to get the game in, whether it's Thursday night or Friday night, if there were any weather, would be extremely tough just because of our exam schedules. But again, with the turf, I think we'll be in good shape. Everything that we're hearing right now would be scattered showers, and so we should have windows to get everything completed.
Well, we talked about him last year. Tell us, for the Nebraska fans, to scare him a little bit more. I mean, Kevin, when you're winning the games you're winning, your pitching staff's going to be winning baseball games. But when you send a kid to the mound that is less than one on the ERA scale, he's got just about everything. What's he doing even better for you right now?
Well, Kevin Duchesne has done a great job for us the entire year. His ERA is below one. He's just a competitor. I mean, he's got a good arm and good stuff. It's not devastating stuff, but he competes very, very well. He understands the game. He understands hitter strengths and weaknesses, and he's able to attack in a lot of different ways. So, you know, it's always nice to have Kevin going out to the mound. But, you know, with Kevin going out the mound, we still have to take care of business from a defensive standpoint and an offensive standpoint to give him that run support.
Does your closer, Tyler Jay, get enough work, do you think, Coach?
I absolutely do. You know, Tyler, first of all, is a very unselfish player. We've been able to throw him the majority of the weekends multiple times. If he does not throw on a Friday or Saturday, then we've been able to extend him on Sunday. And so I think he's gotten plenty of work. We've been able to extend him out pitch total-wise on a couple occasions game-wise. We continue to do that from a bullpen work standpoint to make sure that we have many options with Tyler.
As amazing as 19-1 is, it's crazy that you guys haven't locked up the conference yet. And, of course, if you keep winning, that'll take care of itself. But what are you now? What's that next goal? You guys have accomplished so much. Are we playing for a national seed? Are we playing for a regional, super regional? What's the reassessed goals for your Illini?
Well, there's a number of things that are important to us. Obviously, we'd like to win a Big Ten title. Next week we'll move up to the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis and you know, have an opportunity to win another championship. And during that time, if we can take care of business, then all of a sudden, you know, put us in contention for a national seed. And with the national seed, you know, I would hope that we'd have the opportunity to host both the regional and super regional.
For the Husker fans out there, they're going to hear David Keenan's name quite a bit. You guys can pop some home runs, but not only does he, it's rare where a guy can lead a team in home runs and lead a team in average, and that's what he's doing for you.
Well, David's been very, very good for us. He's, in my mind, maybe the most athletic first baseman in the country. And, you know, obviously very productive at the plate by looking at his numbers. But, you know, Dave's very mature and you know, seems to rise to the occasion regardless of what the situation is. He's been very steady all year. So, you know, it's very nice to have a guy with that type of experience and that type of talent, you know, hitting in the heart of your order.
And, Coach, with all those seniors leaving, this isn't a flash in the pan. I know you hope it's not. What's next year? What's the future looking like here? Because you probably got a couple of these underclassmen that'll probably depart through the draft as well.
Well, we do have some juniors that will be drafted. And, you know, next year we're going to be an extremely young club. But I think the thing that people have to understand is it's not a flash in the pan. This will be, assuming that we are in the NCAA tournament this year, which, you know, I'm fairly confident of that, this will be NCAA appearances 3 of the last 5 years. And so, you know, I think we've been very consistent. Over the past 6 years, we've had the best winning percentage in all games, in overall play within the conference. We're second behind Indiana by just, you know, small percentage points. Within Big Ten play. And so we've played at a high level in this program for a number of years. You know, as you look to next year, we will have some youth, but I think we have some very talented players. We've got a very talented recruiting class coming in. And, you know, I think it's a group that we can win at a high level with. Will we be able to do that right off the bat next year? Time will tell. We'll have to make some progress, but you know, we'll worry about that once we get through this season.
And Dan, just kind of, we've been talking with the coaches that Nebraska has faced throughout the year on a weekly basis, some of the guys that have been around long enough, we keep talking about how much it is amazing how the conference baseball landscape has changed since Nebraska coming in. I'm not saying that Nebraska did that, but can you remember when you guys went into the NCAA tournament and they had to let somebody in from the Big Ten as that number 4 seed, which kind of seemed to slap in the face to where you guys are currently today?
Well, as you look, well, I guess I should start with the fact I've been in the conference 25 years, 15 as an assistant coach, and then fortunate enough to be promoted and take over. This is my 10th year as head coach, so I've seen a lot within the conference. The conference continues to get better and better and better. You know, it started a number of years ago when Bob Todd went to Ohio State, and they started playing at the national level on a regular basis, and then they upgraded their facility. And then as you look over the past 5 or 6 years, with the addition of Nebraska and the type of facility that Nebraska has, I think that was a big shot in the arm for our conference, because the athletic director started to look around and see, you know, programs that have been successful and some of the things that were helping those programs. You've seen a lot of building within our conference. I think you'll continue to see that. We've got very, very good coaches in the conference. And, you know, I think it's a conference that's just going to continue to grow and really have an impact on the national scene over the next number of years.
Get ready to go to Minneapolis, take care of the Huskers this weekend in the final regular season series. Is there a key to keep this run going, to keep this season going, and get you guys to Omaha?
Well, we have to do the same things we've done all year. Obviously, you need to be solid in all areas on the baseball field. I just think from a mentality standpoint, you can't get caught up in rankings or, you know, what may be going on in different areas. We just need to forget about the past. Today we go out and we play a very good Nebraska team. We need to be focused on them, not worried about you know, what we did last weekend, not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's just a one-day-at-a-time venture. And if we continue to do that, we'll be in good shape.
Coach, we wish you the best of luck the rest of the way, and hopefully we can do it again. Always appreciate you joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and keep up the great work. Best of luck.
Well, thank you very much. Great talking to you.
Take care. Illinois head baseball coach Dan Hartlib, ranked anywhere from second to sixth in the country, a consensus number five, and the longest winning streak in the country, 24. They get one today. It will break this year's record, because remember, A&M started off on a 24-game winning streak at the beginning of the season, and Nebraska was part of that 24-game streak as well. So again, 6:05 tonight and tomorrow, and then Saturday afternoon, and you can hear the games on 1230 KHAS. This is where Indiana was when they made their run to the College World Series. It's a team you can get behind. Yes, you're always going to root for Nebraska. I guess we're just... I hope the fans are getting behind most of these teams in the Big Ten Conference. I think it's easier to root for a team, and I didn't want to bring up football, by the way. We're talking about good things with Illinois. Illinois football and things are being talked about for a different reason, but Illinois baseball is something to be followed here. I mean, you can dislike whoever you want in the conference, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. I mean, if it all comes from that football rivalry, I guess you can do that. But it's easier to root for teams like Indiana and Illinois, and you probably don't root for Iowa that much just because it's a supposed rival. But we'll see how the Illini do, and the Huskers and Illini, a three-game series getting underway tonight. Coming up a little bit later on, Michelle Yu to break down the Preakness, just a short field, so it probably won't take that long to break it down. And we've got more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Highly favored American Pharoah rallied in the stretch to win the Kentucky Derby in a breathtaking finish. Now watch the amazing American Pharoah run for the evasive Triple Crown Saturday in the Preakness Stakes at Pimlico. Simulcast for wagering at Fodder Park. Be there for the Preakness. Plus, day-long racing from 23 tracks. Advanced wagering available Friday. First race Saturday, 9:45. Clubhouse open at 1. Fodder Park, Grand Island.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Doing it right makes such a difference. Goodwill.
The story behind the Goodwill store. My story is about my journey of recovery. 5 years ago, addiction, major depressive disorder, and severe arthritis left me feeling hopeless. But with Goodwill's effective programs and compassionate, dedicated staff, I became hopeful my life could be different. Today, I am managing my illness, and life is good for me and my family. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Goodwill is celebrating people. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals and realizing dreams, what we all strive for, what Goodwill helps people do every day. Donate, shop, be part of the story. Life is definitely good for me and future generations.
Such a difference. Goodwill.
Well, Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. The Midway Auto Group, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and the Used Car Superstore now open. They're all right there on South 2nd, the Used Car Superstore in the old Killian's Motor Building. If you've been a lifer or a longtime resident of the area, everyone will know where that's at, but it's bang, bang, bang. They're all right there for you. They'll probably rename the road here pretty soon for all the great work they do for the community and for their fine customers. But right now, Midway has the Buick Sign and Drive event going on the entire 2015 lineup. 0% due at signing after all the offers, 0% first month's payment, 0% security deposit on select Buick models. Just stop in to your Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac dealer on South 2nd Avenue for the details. And if your current lease is coming to an end, you could save up to $1,500 off when you lease a new Buick or GMC at Midway. Learn more when you stop in or go online. ThinkMidway.com. The great thing about ThinkMidway.com, you can view all of the vehicles that are on their lots and not just, well, here's a picture of it sitting out in the parking lot. No, no. There's like 12, 13, 15. It's like a little video tour. Here's what the inside, the interior looks like. Trunk, engine, everything that you would want. Then it has all the details. Here's the miles to gallon it gets. Here's the price we want for it. Here's all the details, the mileage on it, everything you want to know. That way you can pick out 2, 3, 5 vehicles that you are interested in and head on out and talk to your friendly Midway dealer, salesman, or sales lady, and they'll get you taken care of. The Midway Auto Group, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. The Big Ten ACC Basketball Challenge, they've announced the men's pairings. Of course, that always comes up at the end of November, early December. And for the second time in 3 years, Nebraska will host the Hurricanes of Miami of Florida. And that will be on December 1st. All the other details will be worked out in the future. Yay, it's Miami, and I think yay, it's still a name. Here's a team that made the NIT championship game and finished as the runner-up this year. It's always nice to play different teams. But until Nebraska gets better, they're not going to be playing the big boys of Duke and North Carolina and on in the ACC and now Virginia. And nothing comes out of playing Wake Forest, some of the other ones that we've had to play in the past. So this should be a good one for the Nebraska men's basketball team coming up this December. We've got another couple of other local sports notes to talk about. But right now, we welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show from Santa Anita Park, Michelle Yu, ready to talk about the Preakness, which, since that won't take very long, Michelle, I guess we should recap the Derby. Do you feel like we were close or we weren't close?
Well, Frosted did hit the super, so that was exciting. I thought overall the race was, you know, good. I wasn't the biggest Farrell fan going in, but he proved to be the best. I wasn't 100% thrilled with the ride on Dortmund, but Gary Stevens really had his measure on Firing Line. And overall, I thought it was a pretty formful finish, and big kudos to the West Coast going 1-2-3.
You look at that, and I've watched this Kentucky Derby like you have for years and years and years, and it was unlike any Derby that I can remember. I mean, the boys got to the front and they stayed there. There was no late chargers. If Farrell wasn't setting in 14 out of the gate, I mean, there just wasn't a whole lot of real excitement, or I guess the strategy all paid out. They got clear when they wanted to, and you don't see horses go wire to wire very often, but the ones that were in the top five pretty much stayed there.
Well, you know, and that has to do with a little bit of the depth of the field as well. You know, with the Derby, we end up with probably 10 horses that don't deserve to be in there. And this year, we just happened to have a really good group of horses, and they happened to have a front-running type style. And when you're good, you can go on. And they just kind of proved that they were good. You know, a lot of times we end up with some cheap speed out there, horses that can't hold on, horses that don't deserve to be in there. And this time we didn't see that, and so it made it be different. What I liked about the race especially was I felt like this was a really clean year for everybody, you know, mm-hmm. with the exception of first time under the wire, a couple horses, Danzig Moon, one or two others got a little bit of bumping. But for the most part, it was a really clean run race.
If you wanted to make the money, it was the day before when we were talking about the Oaks, where the favorite did not hit.
Yeah, that's that. But that was also, I don't want to say I anticipated it, but I did hammer Shook Up in every single wager that I made. I was hoping she was going to really step up to the plate. I know a lot of people liked Lovely Maria as well. It was just one of those things. you know, you see a filly that's won two or three in a row, and that's exciting. But there were a lot of horses that got ignored that were just as good.
We're talking with Michelle Yu here from Santa Anita on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. How disappointing is it when you just see an eight-horse field despite the quality that might be in it?
You know, I'm not ultra disappointed because I know the Belmont is going to be really tough. There's going to be a lot of horses trying to stay fresh. You know, the Preakness ends up being sometimes the forgotten leg, I feel like, just because a lot of people don't want to come back in 2 weeks if they don't have to, if there's nothing to prove. I think we have a lot of the important ones in there, and I'm okay with it being a short field. I would rather it be a short field with a lot of quality. I mean, I genuinely feel like the majority of this field is quality, you know, rather than have 12 horses, but six of them don't belong there. I mean, in this field, you would have to only say that Taylor Verve, who's just a maiden winner, and quite possibly Bodhisattva are the two that don't belong. But Bodhisattva did earn a good buyer when he took the Tessio. He's 1-for-1 at Pimlico. I mean, I can see why he's there. I don't think he's going to be any kind of a threat for the big three. But for the most part, with the exception of those two, everyone else deserves a chance in this race.
Thank God now I know how to pronounce the six horse because I had no idea, Michelle.
Oh, I'm guessing. I hope that's right.
It sounds good. That's what I always tell everybody. Just say it fast. They'll probably believe it. As you look at this, six of the eight are from the Kentucky Derby. Todd Pletcher decides not to put any of his horses in because of maybe the two-week turnaround. Are you surprised that he didn't try to put some of them in, or is he going to just jump them all in the Belmont?
I mean, I was a little surprised that he opted not to come back with any of them, but Fletcher's good at what he does. Look at, you know, with the scratch of It's My Lucky Day, I can't think of his name right now, but the lucky horse that came back and won the Peter Pan, I mean, made them lucky. He just does, you know, things that are right by his horses. And like you said, there's no point in bringing them back in 2 weeks if they're not going to be ready to fire, if they didn't bounce out so hard. And when they're, you know, distantly beaten in the Derby, then you have to kind of reconsider that coming back in 2 weeks, when it would be more beneficial for the horse to get freshened up for a race later on. And I feel like, too, once the Derby's over, we really get to start separating out the horses that are going to continue to route, also the horses that are going to wind up being our top-tier sprinters. And we also get, you know, some of those second-tier horses that are going to go on and win big races that maybe aren't, you know, the Travers and the Jim Dandy, but they're going to win the West Virginia Derby and the Pennsylvania Derby, you know, million-dollar races that maybe aren't Derby horses. And so I was a little surprised that nothing went, but overall, when you think about it, not really.
Does it make it better with the eight-horse field that Farrow has a better chance to keep us talking about horse racing and a Triple Crown possibility going into the Belmont? Is that the silver lining here?
Well, again, I don't think that there has to be a silver lining. I think it's a really good race. If this was any race but the Preakness, where people are going to be disappointed that it's a small field, they'd be like, wow, look at the quality. We have the 1-2-3 finishers of the Kentucky Derby. We have the runner-up in the Bluegrass. We have, you know, the third-place finisher in the Arkansas Derby, the horse that's danced every dance. We have the Lexington winner. I mean, I think that this is a really classy, quality field, and we don't need to have 12 horses to make it a good race. You know, we have three really legitimate horses that have been duking it out, and you know, I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think we need to have that big field.
Michelle, I don't know if I'm following a little bit of the social media on this. I've had a couple of my racing friends kind of point me in that direction. I guess if you've got a comment, I wanted to ask you about how horse racing feels now about Pimlico, Baltimore, and not necessarily withstanding just this year and the riots and the problems that they've had, but I'm just hearing that maybe Pimlico is sliding down the old scale of popularity because of where it's located and some of the problems they've had out there. Is there truth to that?
You know, I haven't heard anything about it. Obviously, when the riots were going on, it was big talk. What's going to happen to Preakness? What's going to happen to Preakness? But I think that a lot of the, you know, Preakness crowd has really embraced kind of the rough neighborhood that Pimlico is located in. And it is. It's not the prettiest spot ever. But in reality, Churchill Downs isn't in the best spot ever. I mean, it's, you know, relatively close to the downtown, like, school area. I mean, it's not in an upscale neighborhood or anything. And it's just something that you come to embrace, I feel like. Now that the riots are done with and over with and not at the forefront of everyone's social media feed, not one thing in my Twitter the last 4 days has had anything to do with that. It's all been horses arriving, literally the biggest news is Bob Baffert led his own horse off the van. That's all anyone can talk about. I feel like in horse racing, because we're just so trained to what happened, you know, what happens now, what have you done for me lately, we're willing to forgive and forget almost anything and just move on with the race. And that's how we have to perceive things and go on with things. You know, Pimlico can't help the location that it's in, but it is a race, at least, that is driven with tradition and history, and you're going to draw a crowd no matter what.
We're talking with Michelle Yu, who has been around the horse racing gig for quite some while right now, analyst out at Santa Anita, and she's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's break down the race then, Michelle. Our friend Big Game James has the first question here for you. Can Dancing Moon lay behind the speed and get him at the end?
Well, of course he can lay behind the speed. That is his preferred running style. I mean, you know, I don't generally see him more than 4 or 5 lengths off the lead. I had mentioned when we did the show before the Derby, I didn't think that he necessarily had the stamina pedigree to go the 1.25 miles, and he was just a little flat toward the end. He still is such a good-looking horse. I think the cutback in distance should help him. The problem with him is he doesn't have an explosive turn of foot that I've ever seen from him. He just kind of grinds it away, and he makes up some ground late on, but it's not from being dazzling or devastating, you know. And the problem with a race like this that's shaping up is we have lots of speed, which would necessarily be a plus for Danzig Moon. The negative is the speed horses can hold on. They can go on the pace. They can lay really close to pace, and they still have a kick. And that's what's hard for horses that are kind of grinders to overcome. But, hey, if there's a beauty contest, it's definitely going to be Danzig Moon that's winning. He's one of the best turned-out horses up there. Mark Cassie does such a good job. I'm glad they opted to bring him back in here, because I do think he can legitimately pick up some pieces should one of these horses not bounce out of the race very well.
Last minute with Michelle Yu here. Let's break it down. Is it going to be chalk? I kind of like Firing Line. This one's a little shorter. There shouldn't be any problem getting around the racetrack.
I don't think he had a problem getting around the racetrack at all. I mean, I thought that he really ran extremely well at the 1.25 miles. I think that Sunland Derby with Simon Callahan shipping him out there so he stopped losing to Dortmund really just was a big boost for Firing Line's confidence. He was going so well. You know, him and American Pharoah exchanged that bump, just strides out from the wire. We saw Firing Line not change leads down the entire stretch, which everyone's been talking about. Could he still move up? Possibly. I do think it's going to be a relatively chalky race. And this could be a year like 2007 where we see a different course. Like one of these top three could win each leg, you know, themselves and have three separate winners, but it would still be great. Of course, for racing, you want American Pharoah to win so we can go in hoping for a triple crown. But I've been a Dortmund fan. I can't get off of him yet. Firing Line was ridden to a T by Gary Stevens, who knew that Dortmund would re-rally and fight. And instead of putting him next to Dortmund, he moved Firing Line off of him. So Dortmund was down there on the rail by himself, and he didn't show that extra, you know, intestinal fortitude that we generally see from him when he gets himself into a dogfight. But maybe someone else this time won't be as savvy as Gary, and it'll give Dortmund that extra umph.
Will Pharoah and Dortmund being in the 1-2, I mean, they could be anywhere and be next to each other, but especially 1-2, could that change the way the race is run?
I know Bob Baffert. The minute I saw this horse through the one, was just going to be upset. Bob is not a fan of the one hole by any means. He's obviously going to have to use Pharoah to get him up there. And then I guess I don't think Bob's going to give them too many instructions. It's going to be tactical. Obviously, you know you're on two horses with plenty of get up and go, but you don't need to be duking it out in the front end and killing it for each other. Neither one of them are rabbits for each other. It's just going to really have to be who has that better position and who's feeling more tractable that day. I know Dortmund was on the lead in the Derby, but I feel like he is tractable. And we've seen Pharoah sit off as well. Those two might even, you know, get themselves a good position and allow someone to come and cross over them, and they can both stalk, you know, a horse like Bodhisattva, who might just gun for it and try and steal it on the front end, and maybe it'll lay them both up to come from right off the pace. There's so much speed in here. I mean, Firing Line presses. Divining Rod goes almost gate to wire. Bodhisattva has speed. You know, Dortmund and American Pharoah have speed. It's really going to be an interesting rider's race.
I think I misspoke. 5 of the 8 are out of the Kentucky Derby, and one of those has really kind of an interesting story. In 2 weeks, a lot has happened for Mr. Z, who did not have a good Derby.
Yeah, he was checked repeatedly early in the Kentucky Derby, and he was a horse that pretty much danced every dance. Although he hasn't come out on top, he's still a non-two life. He has finished in the money 8 of his 13 outs. He's earned over $500,000. He's been runner-up to some of our best. And, you know, when we saw him out here at Los Alamitos in the Los Alamitos Futurity, I mean, it was a three-way photo finish between him, Dortmund, and Firing Line. He tried to prove that he was just as good as those top two. You know, you have to give him an excuse in the Kentucky Derby because he was one of the horses that did suffer from a brutal trip. You know, you hear D-Wayne Lucas saying he's going to send Mr. Z to Pimlico. You hear Optimus Diet saying, no, he's not going. I don't know what Wayne is thinking. And then, boom, Mr. Z sold to Calumet. He's entered in the Preakness. Very interesting story surrounding him. And, you know, Wayne says if they're doing good, he likes to run them. And we saw a similar case, you know, with his horse a couple years ago, Take Charge Indy, that he ran him like 12 or 13 times as a two-year-old. This horse is well on his way to do, or as a three-year-old, and this horse is well on his way to doing that. He's done all the major, you know, dances, and he doesn't necessarily have to win. He's here to pick up a check and make some money, I feel like.
All right, Michelle, it's Thursday, but what's the Preakness trifecta?
Oh, I am not a trifecta player. I'm just going to say I want to use Dortmund on top still because I can't get off his bandwagon yet. But really, I feel like I'm going to watch this race with just bated breath and be excited for horse racing that we have such a contingent of quality horses that thrills the nation right now.
All right, Michelle, always appreciate the insight. We'll catch up with you before the Belmont, okay? Enjoy.
Sounds perfect. Enjoy,
thanks,
guys. Good luck.
Thanks, Michelle. You joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio from Santa Anita and all the racing that's going on there as well. Jimmy Langan will be in tomorrow. We'll have kind of our selections. We'll also talk with Gino Bucola tomorrow at about this same time from TVG and get his selections. He was on Pharaoh. Michelle was on Dortmund. Again, they both had this year kind of a rooting interest, Dortmund winning the Santa Anita Derby, and Gino had picked American Pharaoh and had a big Vegas ticket on him. So we'll see what he thinks about the chances on Saturday. You'll be able to hear the Preakness right here on ESPN Radio with the post time just after 5 o'clock. We'll be back and kind of wrap things up, give you a couple of updates after this.
Are you being held hostage by today's propane prices? At three times the normal level, you need to call Anderson Brothers and fight back. Both air and water source heat pump designs are available from Carrier. Up to 75% of their energy is from the air and ground around your home. Energy that is both renewable and free to you. Let Carrier technology help you heat and cool your home. Turn to the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating. Call 308-236-6437 or 995-4481 today.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool, featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
But you put on quite a show. Really had me going. Now it's time to go.
Doug and Daddy Show. I I chuckle with the pain every time this morning that SportsCenter shows the heartbreak in D.C. yesterday with the Wizards and the Capitals both going down last night in the NBA and NHL playoffs. They are at halftime in the second Class A girls game at the state soccer tournament, and number one Millard West is crushing Bellevue West 4-0 at halftime. Already this morning, Millard North eliminated Kearney by a score of 4-0, scoring in the first 5 minutes of the first and second half and cruising home to the victory. The St. Louis Rams cut former UNK defensive end Mason Brodine yesterday. Brodine had been with the Rams for 3 seasons on the practice squad, trying to work into the tight end. He was somebody they all loved, but just obviously wasn't at the point where he was going to be breaking into the starting lineup. And then in preseason last year, he broke his ankle, so he's out. They keep him on the squad, but he's out. He's gone for right now. Mason Brodine cut by the St. Louis Rams. And UNK men's basketball coach Kevin Lofton has brought on 3 more players that will join Grand Island's Pierce Allman next season. They are Carter Burns. He was from Ottumwa, Iowa for 3 seasons, then played at Ankeny this past season, signed with Mary, North Dakota, but then they had a coaching change, so he says he's coming here. He's been in double figures each of the past 3 seasons, 3-time all-league pick. They also are bringing in Morgan Susie. He is out of Kansas. And then you've got a JUCO player coming in Josh Sweet, who was at Allen Community College the last couple of years. So there you go. That brings us to the end of today's Doug and Daddy show. Amir Abdullah signed his deal with Detroit yesterday, the second round draft pick. Looks like about a 4-year, $4 million deal for Amir Abdullah. And don't forget, Saturday, it should be nice during the day. It's free fishing and park entry day in Nebraska. It's the Saturday before Memorial every year that fishing or state park activities are free. You don't need to purchase the park permit. And check out outdoornebraska.org, outdoornebraska.org for more information. Coming up on the program tomorrow, Jimmy Lang and our co-host Gino Bucola from the TVG Network, Nebraska Danger football coach Mike Davis. We will also update you on soccer and track and all that's going on. We want to thank Michelle Yu from Santa Anita and Illinois baseball coach Dan Hartlove for joining us on today's show. If you miss any of it, go to our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!